kids get acquainted with the internet. A Girl Meets World podcast.
I'm Dan.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Keith. And today we're discussing season 2, episode 18 of Girl Meets World, entitled Girl Meets World of Terror.
And 2. I forgot the 2.
And it's okay. 2.
Keep going.
And season 5, episode 5 of Boy Meets World, entitled The Witches of Pembroke.
And, if you can believe it, season 1, episode 9 of Best Friends Whenever, entitled Sid and Shelby's Haunted Escape. Caitlin?
This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Visit audibletrial.com/GMWpodcast for your free audiobook download.
We're talking about 3 episodes today, and that's going to be radical and different for us, so we're not going scene by scene. We are just going to...
Because we want... Well, we care about you. We care about ourselves. Yes.
We care about not doing a 5-hour podcast.
And it's 11:30, so let's see when we end. We'll let you know.
Yes. It starts at 10.
So, we're talking about these 3 shows. Boy Meets World, Girl Meets World, and...
Best Friends Whenever.
Our new favorite program of all time. No, we actually did like it. And so, we're going to start with sort of our thesis, as Keith wanted to put it. Keith, we have a thesis. I don't really remember what it is anymore, but we're going to try.
That's unfortunate, considering I'm the one that asked you the question and you had a good answer.
Yes, well, you could ask me the questions again.
Okay.
For our listeners at home, I want to describe Keith real quick. He's wearing a... What did you call that?
I forget the real name. It's like a desert scarf.
Yeah, so it's a head... It's wrapped around his head. If any of you have seen Aladdin, it's like when Jasmine... It reminds me of when Jasmine escapes from the palace and when she first meets Aladdin.
Keith reminds me of Jasmine on a daily basis.
He wears a lot of crop tops.
So my thesis...
Oh, no. Back up. Okay.
Yes.
My question that I posed to you, Daniel...
Daniel.
When we were...
Jahan.
Formulating this thesis...
Yes.
Was as follows.
Okay.
What is it that is lacking from the Girl Meets World, which you think they did successfully in that Boy Meets World episode, which made it more successful having been surreal and feeling that it both escaped from the canon of this the season, or series rather, and also existing inside of it at the same time in a fun way?
All right. Well, first, I guess I want to throw out that I don't want to seem super Boy Meets World biased here as far as, like, I don't even necessarily think Witches of Pembroke is, like, a fantastic, amazing pinnacle episode of Boy Meets World either. But it is interesting. I wanted to compare these 2 episodes because they're both Halloween episodes. They both have crazy things that are, you know, magical, basically, happen. And they...
incorporate them very differently.
Yes. And that they both have crossovers from other TV shows, actors coming in. To me, the big difference here on Boy Meets World is that the comedy and the craziness comes... It comes from some actual drama. It's simple drama. It's tropic drama. But it's actually a story. And it's a relatable story. As far as, you know, 2 friends get sort of have issues because of a girl come in and she's kind of controlling or whatever.
And more specifically, it's this girl that comes in and she's automatically a huge jerk.
Yeah.
And gets in the way and, like, really... just all of a sudden things, you know, it's like completely, is it like, almost like an overacting thing?
Yeah.
But then here they actually make it so it's not about overacting, it's literally she's evil.
Yeah, it's saying...
It's like Jennifer.
Yeah. It's to me, it reminds me of, it's like one of those things where you take a common issue and sort of put a supernatural spin on it so that you can, sort of like how the best sci-fi is like, it's doing something crazy to tell you something about the real life.
Yeah.
And so this is, like, I'm not saying this is a super revolutionary thing, but it's taking something realistic and putting the spin on it. It's also doing it in a slow burn, where we start in a more real world, and we get a little kookier, and a little kookier, and then by the end, we're super kooky. But it's not like... not like Girl Meets World, which to me starts at basically a 10 and never goes down or never comes up. It's just super heightened from the very beginning and it's just zany. There's no real character development. There's no real message. There's no real plot, even. The girls don't really have a goal in the episode.
Nothing's at stake.
Yeah, there's nothing at stake. The girls just accept that there's a ghost. They're not freaked out by it.
Well, I mean, for brief periods of time.
For, like, half a second. I mean, it's never, like, they never react the way someone would react to a ghost. There's a lot of things in this Girl Meets World episode that I think are entertaining, but are just upsetting to me as a Boy Meets World fan that knows how good a Halloween episode can be and how much more it can be, and knows that there are little things they did that they could have done so much more with. Do we want to... So, we want to go into Boy Meets World?
Yeah. On that note, I think we're going to get into Witches of Penbrooke.
Yeah.
And kind of talk about it for a little bit and say what we liked about it and how that really kind of shows what you can do with something that is surreal, which still can kind of feel right, for lack of a better word, how it feels right within the universe of a show.
All right, do we want to quickly grade the episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll start. So I would probably give this episode like a B+. I think that there are some shaky bits, especially at the beginning, as far as the, like, Jack's dialogue isn't great, and it's just kind of overly cliche. But as the episode goes on, it's just a really fun episode. I think that Sean, in particular, is just used really well here, just kind of popping in and being funny. It really reminds me of how good of a performer Will Friedle is, too, in this episode, because he takes things that are sort of just, like, wacky and just makes them really fun, and he's fun to watch.
He was great in this episode.
Yeah. And I think the subplot with Corey and Topanga is very, like, classic to who those characters are. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes forward. I mean, it's the beginning of, like, the whole crazy hair episode with the truth about honesty, yeah. and then Girl Meets the Truth, things like that. Continues the fear of theme in a different way, fear in a different way, and Feeny's great in this episode. But, again, there's a little bit of wackiness that's a little bit too wacky at some points for me, and I go back and forth at how much I like the witch's cat. What's her name? Millie.
Millie.
Yes. No one was rushing to my aid then. I couldn't remember.
We wanted to see how you do on your own.
I thought you were going to say Mimsy.
Mimsy?
Mimsy the witch.
That would be a good children's book.
She is wacky on purpose, but it's also just a little bit too much at a few times. But what do you guys think of this?
This is obviously a pretty iconic Boy Meets World episode, I'd say, when you look back on Boy Meets World and you want to list, like, if you were to, say, list some of the crazier Boy Meets World episodes, and there are quite a few, this would be up there. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's literally witches.
Yeah.
And it's canon that there's witches.
Yeah, I would say this is potentially the craziest. Because
it's not explained away as a dream.
What about Shangri-La?
Yeah.
That was canon.
Yeah.
Even the time travel.
It wasn't a dream.
The cat after this, too.
Those are all supposed to be canon. Yeah, they weren't dreams.
Yeah.
So, and that's another Sabrina thing. Though Sabrina doesn't actually show up.
Yeah, is Shangri-La never explained away as a dream? Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty sure.
If someone wants to fact check this,
I'm pretty sure it's a dream, but I might be wrong.
I'm pretty sure it's just a time-traveling closet. Not as good as a time-traveling best friend you hug.
No. It's your new favorite show.
They're really cute. Oh, it's adorable.
More on that later.
Yes.
Sorry.
So. Crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. And especially over time, because we have admitted we have the bias, we have nostalgia. You know, it becomes.
I don't.
Yeah, okay. Okay, mister, I own all the DVDs.
That's just because they're amazing and objectively he finds quality in them.
No bias at all.
Did you give it a letter grade?
No, not yet. But like Dan was saying, it does have its faults, but it also does something really great that we don't see enough in Girl Meets World.
Really prone to earthquakes.
It does something really great that we don't see enough in Girl Meets World, which is linking the two plots very seamlessly.
Transitioning nicely.
Yes, and we'll get into that, but I think that's something we need to see more. That was a really good writing technique.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to probably give it the same, a B+.
Cool.
Solid. So I'm also going to give it a B/B+. Similarly to Dan, I think Jack at the beginning was like, he was new, but not quite new enough to act the way he did at the beginning. I think it was a little bit too
generic. Similar to our Peyton issues, I think, in a lot of season one.
That being said, it was a hilarious episode. He got better. Sean, again, was great. He comes in, delivers a crazy line, you know, like, oh, I assume they were wishes, you know what I mean? Something like that.
Should we have explained this more for people who haven't seen it?
What?
Not during my grading, we should have.
I'm just saying, we're saying a lot of things having never actually said what the episode was about.
We'll do it after.
All right.
Anyways, so I think that what makes it so interesting is the fact that it is Candace Cameron is her name, right? DJ?
I believe so. Yeah. DJ from Full House is the witch.
Who is the witch? And it's interesting because the character that she normally plays is this kind of very peppy.
Catty.
Yeah, catty.
Catty? Really?
Mm. Oh, you're talking about in Full House. Yeah. Sorry.
Very catty Full House character.
Anyways, it's such a departure from that. And I think she's the kind of actress that, at least at this point, I think Danny looked up, was only 2 years after the end of Full House.
Yeah.
Still very much known for that role.
Yeah.
So to see her like this is like almost ironic.
Mm.
And I think that because she was a witch, because they took it that far, is why I liked it. If she was just like the mean girlfriend,
this episode would have sucked. If she was another Desiree or like
it would have been not good. But I think because it was like there was this weird space between overacting and like too quick to get to these places.
Yeah.
And then because it's a turn of like, oh, she's literally a witch. She's literally trying to summon the devil and kill people, which makes it. That is a little extra too far. So that makes it great. It's just a great fun episode.
Summon of the Devil makes it great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're talking about, let's get into how this actually drama.
So I guess I'm going to do a really quick basic overview. Yeah, so as far as the main plotline, is actually a big Eric plotline for once. He's the protagonist here. And so it's about his relationship with Jack, and they're sort of forging, like, they are sort of friends at this point, but I think you're supposed to take this as, like, the episode where they get more officially bonded as friends. Mm-hmm. And so Eric sees them as friends, but Jack is like, oh, I'm always just like your sidekick, I'm always just following you around because I'm new here. And so he gets this girlfriend, and Eric doesn't like her, and he thinks she's mean, whatever. He and Jack sort of...
She is.
Yes, she is mean. He and Jack sort of fight over it. Jack doesn't believe, he thinks Eric's just jealous or whatever. Very common in both real life and in...
TV.
Yeah, and in television, yeah. And so...
TV's real.
The payoff here is that not only is she actually mean, she's actually a witch. She's only after Jack because he's a hunter, Jack Hunter.
The prophecy, they must sacrifice a hunter on a certain day with the moon in alignment with the star Volaris or something like that.
And then the devil's tail appears and that sends out a beam of light. Why? I don't know.
That's pretty obvious.
I think the devil has to see.
So Eric gets witchcraft for dum-dums. He's about to do a counter spell, but the beam hits him and he happens to have sunblock on, which
is SPF 45.
So it all works out.
And then a little something other stretchy, I forget what.
Zinc oxide.
And the message of the episode is that Halloween is the only holiday that brings people together. It's a great message.
And we've got
really means a lot to me personally.
Same. And then we've got the minor plot with Corey and Topanga. Corey and Topanga are supposed to be going to Pittsburgh Is it Pittsburgh?
Yeah, they're seeing her family. Wait, they must be going to see her parents.
Why'd they take a damn plane then? Anyway.
Yeah, I thought of that too. It's weird.
So anyway, so they're going to Pittsburgh. Topanga's all ready to like go on a nice road trip with Corey, and he surprises her with plane tickets. Topanga has a fear of flying that we find out about. She freaks out. Corey kind of makes fun of her because he's Corey, and they get into this really tiny plane, and they have to distribute the weight for takeoff and everything. So Corey's not even near her.
And then
we find out that the pilot is actually a dum-dum.
Well, he's Eric's... He's tutored by Eric.
Yes. So. Eric is his mentor. And he talks about, like, what a smart guy Eric is, and, like, if he had Eric's smarts, he wouldn't be a pilot for that company.
Yes.
And that's when Corey calls Mr. Feeney.
Yes.
And gets warned.
And so this is the transition you were talking about, as far as we have a scene where Eric goes to Mr. Feeney to ask for advice. It ends with Feeney getting a phone call, Feeney walks over, and then we just seamlessly transition back into the Corey plotline of him calling Feeney and asking about this guy, whether he was actually classmates with Eric. So it's just a funny thing.
We end that plotline with Topanga facing her fear and flying the plane and going for a nosedive and potentially killing them all.
Now, I have a question actually about that particular thing.
It ends with that, which is so weird.
So that also, forget about the witches, like, the fact that Topanga's flying the plane is also pretty out there and crazy.
Pretty.
And I think that I'm trying to reconcile why I don't have a huge issue with it. Do you have a big, I don't think it works quite as well as other things. It kind of feeds into her character as much as she is Superwoman, she can do whatever, but...
Yeah, it's because we've seen things like this before, that because of her intelligence, she can take on any task.
I think it's more that they were high enough up that more or less whatever happened, could have been righted, and it was supposed to be
by Eric's trainee.
My thought process is also if this guy can do it, then I believe that Topanga can do it. At the same time, I don't think it is like one of the stronger points of the episode for me personally, it's not bad.
But it doesn't take me out of the world of the episode. Because there are witches, and there are much bigger things to deal with at this moment, like the devil.
So, to me, it's not just... we're hinting a lot here about Girl Meets World, as far as... It's not just that there is some human drama here, as far as friendship, and you know, do you pick the girl over the friend, and do you, you know, believe the friend when they say this girl isn't the right girl for you? That, I mean, that is all kind of basic and in the background. It isn't a huge... dramatic deal here, but it's also just that there is a plot line, there
things
is stakes.
Get revealed over time. There are developments that take place.
It all fits logically.
They happen at key moments, and it's an entertaining to see things unfold.
Yeah.
And that creates a story as opposed to just kind of splattering everything and just there's no rules.
Yeah. And though it's dramatic irony, we get hints throughout the episode of like the audience is like, all right, Jack's gonna get it now, right?
Yeah.
Now, right? They're witches. That's a cauldron. Sean even gets it.
Yeah, it just unfolds logically for the episode. Each thing builds on each scene builds on the previous one, and so you're not like, it's not like you see the next scene and you're like, I can't believe this is happening. Whereas on Girl Meets World, yes, there are fun things that happen, but they just seem to kind of pop out of nowhere and almost just so because we want funny things to happen and not in a logical way that unfolds.
It really seems like they took the bones of 10 ideas for episodes and shoved them together. And I think that also it was like, I really feel like there were... some really great scenes inside of the episode.
Yeah, I agree.
And I feel like they served more on, like, little specials that could have been between commercial breaks.
So, should we transition fully into Girl Meets World?
I just wanted to bring up the tag real quick of the Boy Meets World episode.
Oh, yeah.
Which was another crossover, and it was very good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah, we see them back on the balcony, which was so pivotal throughout the episode and important to DJ's character, Millie. Was it Millie?
Yes.
Millicent.
We're going to call her Millie. So, Eric's out there. He's making out with this girl that he just met and he really likes. And she was like, I really like this balcony. And when she pulls away from Eric, we realize it's Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah.
And he gets nervous, and he's like, why do girls like balconies?
Yeah.
No, that was the issue.
Why do girls like balconies?
Well, obviously it's because they're witches, but that's not why she likes the balcony. And he talks about why he gets so frantically nervous in that moment, and he's like, well, my best friend just broke up with a witch. And she's like, well, what's so spooky about that? Ha, 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 exit.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. This ends with, and Sean's randomly a frog.
I forgot.
Also, MVP for the episode, Ryder Strong.
Yeah, well, I agree, but I actually don't like the frog thing. I don't get anything out of that. But I do think that Sabrina is used very well here. It's just a tag. She's not... A tag is usually just a one-off gag to begin with.
And it wasn't even just that we're seeing this actress. It actually does make sense for her character.
Yeah. It was a cameo. It definitely was a cameo.
Yeah, but it was a tag cameo.
It was a helpful to the storyline kind of cameo.
Because
it's helpful to the attitude.
Yeah.
It was a good takeaway attitude.
Yeah. I agree. To me, it's just that the tag is always going to be sort of a one-off gag, and that this is a gag that is using a crossover intelligently, and it does connect back with what was happening earlier and has a funny irony with it.
And to say again... we don't know why Sean's a frog. It's never actually explained.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious.
I'm not a fan.
Why?
Maybe he hit on her or something.
That's kind of what I was
going to say. Like, I assume that Sabrina turned into a frog, but she's usually also very careful with her powers. So.
Did you watch Sabrina?
I love Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
I had no idea, really.
I like Sabrina too.
Really?
Yeah.
I never really saw. I saw like and random episodes.
I was really upset.
It's really
when
weird,
it,
but it's funny.
I was really upset when it ended, and so I kept watching her new show, which was What I Like About You.
Do you know what? Harvey is like Lucas in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I don't know who Harvey is. But sure.
The love interest.
He's like a cool guy, but also a loser.
Yeah.
Cool guy losers. All right, can we get to Girl Meets World for a bit?
No.
For like 5 seconds?
We're going to do a Sabrina the Teenage
4
Witch.
4 seconds.
No, so...
Yeah, pause. Sabrina's Teenage Witch.
All right, so Girl Meets World of Terror 2.
So problem number one
is the title.
No, the problem number one is the title.
I want to back up for a second and say, like, I understand this is supposed to be a filler. This is supposed to be wacky. This is aimed at kids more than it's aimed at me. I can accept that. At the same time, I think that both the Boy Meets World episode and the Best Friends Whenever episode totally play to children, too. And they also play much better to me. So, I mean, we haven't seen tons of episodes of Best Friends Whenever. I don't know how the show is overall, but we just watched this because Riley and Lucas came to it. In case anybody doesn't actually know that, Riley and Lucas showed up on Best Friends Whenever. I don't think that the Girl Meets World episode is fun. There is fun moments that's slightly enjoyable at times. And I do want to throw out that I did a thing with retweet or favorite between, so I've sort of battled between World of Terror 1 and World of Terror 2. I was very surprised at how many people way more liked World of Terror 2. So apparently people are happy with
it. I will wager a guess here. They both are very theatrical productions, but World of Terror, the original, it being split up into the three stories,
yeah,
has its own special little gimmicky attitude kind of thing, where it has a little showcase for each little thing. But the second installment is, it's still split up, but it's very much, you have a scene which is crazy, yeah, you have another scene, it's so different, yeah, each time, it's so dynamic, and even though it doesn't make sense, there are a lot of things that I think a lot of people will say is like, wow, this is a really fun moment, and here's, yeah, another, and I'm just like blindsided, but it's a really fun moment.
Yeah.
And I think that is, what people are taking away from it, are them being surprised at how much, yeah, fun they're having.
Well, that's the thing is, to me, the spectacle of this episode, yeah, hides the missed opportunities.
Yes. Yeah.
And the spectacle is enjoyable, but I think you're right as far as, it almost would have been better if they just completely redid last year with the three separate storylines. And so then, like, the witch was going through the ghost, except the ghost basically is a witch.
Yeah, she acts
just
like a witch.
Yeah. If he was going through different storylines and it was with a different set of characters for each, yeah, three and did cool, a different crazy thing to each one, and each one, like, they could have had a whole...
She could have just been a ghost of Halloween, yeah, instead, yeah, that, of a ghost of the Bam Bay window.
The radical changes.
Yeah, you could have had a third of the story be about that cartoon thing, and actually have a story with the cartoon thing instead of just a random, we're cartoons and now we're not. And so, should we grade this? How do we...
It's hard.
I have a grade. You guys want me to go and then you can follow while you think about that?
Yeah.
Before you do, I just want to say why I feel like it's hard to grade that. It's just because it's so out there. It's so different from even the wackier Girl Meets World episodes.
Yeah.
And that this is all supposed to be canon.
Yeah.
And there's no storyline, really, yeah, no anything.
It really comes down to each scene was almost its entirely separate entity within the whole episode.
Yeah, it felt like a bunch of skits.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Exactly.
Rather than an episode.
So,
which is fine if that is what it was presented, yeah, as.
So, I Dan, think, you can grade now.
Yeah, so the thing is, I agree. I think it's hard to grade in that... If you're going to grade it, I usually try to grade against what the thing is attempting to do and how successful it is. But it's also like, do I grade it against that, or do I grade it against the overall, like, where do I rank it all against the other Girl Meets World episodes? I personally, as much as I think it's enjoyable, I think it's one of the weakest Girl Meets World episodes. At the same time, it is more fun. So I'm sort of hovering between D+ and C-, just because saying D+... seems harsh when I do think it has a bunch of enjoyable moments. And I think all it is trying to be is silly filler, and it is silly filler. At the same time, there are a bunch of moments throughout this episode that either I just didn't find enjoyable at all. Like, I honestly, like, nothing against the child actors, but the material given to the child actors I, like, honestly hate. And it doesn't do anything for me. It's such a repeat of everything we've seen before. It's not enjoyable for me to watch at all. And the kids are cute, but that's not enough for me to want to watch you.
Yeah, and... I'm going to back Dan up real quick, because I don't know if you all know, I get very excited over cute and cuddly things, and Doi falls in that category. I love Doi. The actor is the cutest little thing. I want to pinch his chubby cheeks, and, like, wow, what a great lion. If he screamed one more time, I was going to scream.
Yeah.
I don't like to listen to kids scream. I listen to that enough on the Red Line.
There was,
like,
one scream in particular which was extra painful, yeah, and just kept going.
Yeah, and I don't understand it. That's not funny. That's not funny.
There's a difference between torturing your characters and torturing your audience.
Yes.
I felt tortured.
Yeah, and every time Ava does something that's supposed to be annoying, it annoys me too, not just the characters. And so, okay, but moving on from that, like, I did enjoy the dance numbers. I think they were fun to watch. I think the actors have great physical comedy with being controlled and all that stuff, and the choreography was pretty solid. I think that the two Austin and Ally characters that popped up were completely useless and did nothing for the plot. And I think honestly,
really sidelined everything.
I think that the actress who played the ghost really didn't work for me at all. I did not get anything from her. And the cartoon thing was really cool and actually had some funny moments and was different and experimental, but like, as someone who has seen other shows experiment with stop motion episodes or with cartoon episodes, I know how much can be done and how they can actually put an emotional resonance behind it, and you can actually have a storyline behind it, and you can have a reason other than just because random. And it's just too much random arbitrary things and too many missed opportunities, because I think that, I mean, think about season 2 of Boy Meets World was an episode about werewolves and was wacky and crazy, but it was all explained in the end, and it was an episode about puberty and had something behind it. And this is just an episode about nothing.
Throw this frame at my chest really hard.
It's just an episode about nothing. They try to throw in these weird, like, the bay window is important and blah, blah, blah. And the ghost of the bay window is an idea that I find enjoyable and is cool. And
again, they took about 10 different ideas.
Yeah.
They threw them all together and no one idea got to really be born all the way.
Yeah. And even having a musical episode, like if Riley was like having a tough day and wished life was like a musical and like we had a whole crazy musical episode that connected to her psyche or whatever,
or if they
that
went
could be good.
Hey Arnold route or something, like went on a field trip to opera musical. Like on Hey Arnold, someone fell asleep.
Helga.
Yeah, and they went through the different dreams and connecting to real life.
Magic golden slingshot.
So at the end of the day, C-, I think, is what I'm sticking with. I did think it was fun to watch, mostly, and definitely the dance numbers were really fun, but I just expect more. I think the Halloween episodes are some of the best episodes of Boy Meets World, and I don't know why
anything ever.
Yeah.
I know something. A Halloween episode of a beloved TV show can be some of the best episodes ever, because it really is a chance to experiment and to do something really creative but also really interesting, and also it's just like, it's a fun thing to rally around and watch with friends. A Halloween episode is always great that you want to get together and watch with friends.
And always, I feel like the Halloween episodes give you a time to explore new things about your characters, because you don't get to see them in, like, actual fearful situations enough, and you can write that in, and it's not, and like, people will accept that, and then you get to see how your characters will react in a setting like that, like how,
without getting too heavy.
Exactly, like how the best friends whenever girl, the brunette,
punches people.
I can't, how she fear punches.
Yeah,
also I do that.
I think Shelby is the blonde and Sid is the brunette, but keep going with your grade and I'll look it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Best Friends Whenever, they took this opportunity to dive into their characters. You know, we got to see, like, Shelby, the blonde.
Yes.
Yeah. She was afraid they weren't going to be able to hug anymore, and I felt her pain.
This is your Girl Meets World rating?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm saying things you can do with these episodes. And it gives you an opportunity as a writer to do a lot of things that you don't normally get to do, and to experiment with your characters. And also, it's kind of like a fanfic. You can just have fun.
Yeah.
And so, I feel like not taking that opportunity to actually also dive into your actual character, but just like, because whatever Riley did, Maya could have done. And it would have been, I would say 90% of the time, whatever Riley was doing, you could have just had Maya doing, and it would have made any difference.
I don't really know what you're talking about.
I have no clue what you're saying.
I'm saying in the episode.
In this episode.
Yeah, in Girl Meets World of Terror 2, like, the characters didn't feel
interchangeable.
Yeah, they don't really have any substance to themselves. And so even though Maya and Riley are very different, it didn't matter in this episode.
I mean, they did have, like, the claymation thing with the switching their eyes.
Yes, and we'll get back into that more. Yeah, and so I feel so. So I laughed a lot during this episode, and I thought a lot of things were incredibly adorable, not just adoyable.
Wow.
Yeah, I went there. And so I just hit the table, and I'm going to give it a C.
All right. Keith?
I'm going to give this episode a C-.
Wow, me and Keith agreed.
Because there were a lot of fun things in this episode that I enjoyed watching, but it really was not an episode. If I'm calling this an episode, it really had a lot of things lacking. It was just not organized. It's fun to have fun, but you have to have at least some rules within your own universe. I loved the first bay window scene. I loved the first dance number as a dance number. I just don't know if it belonged where it belonged. I don't like the catalyst of the ghost. I don't like the backstory of the ghost. That was all.
Oh, God, yeah, no.
I was not a fan of that. I also loved the tag. I thought it was a really great tag.
I agree. But I would say better than the Boy Meets World one.
About the same. Because I don't know why. I like the frog thing, too.
I hate the frog thing.
Okay, I just think it's funny.
You feel really strongly about the frog thing.
I did not get the whole stage within a stage thing of them presenting at the beginning and being like, here's our story and here's my character. I did not like Topanga making eye contact with the camera.
I don't like that.
Topanga looking at the camera didn't bother me, but I just don't like redoing things. Like, the fact that we're having Augie perform again and host again, and now it's not even as good as last year. Last year he was doing like Hitchcock homages and being Dracula, and like this year they're just randomly Wizard of Oz characters for literally like no reason aside from it was like a bad school play.
Yeah,
aside from Ava being the witch, like there's no reason for them to be these characters.
Let's talk about the claymation a little bit, because I was so blown away by it.
Yeah,
and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think it's one of the reasons people like this, because no matter what happens, you're blown away by what you're saying. And I think it reminded me of Lizzie McGuire a little bit.
Reminded me of Gumby.
Reminded me of Community. Reminded me of stop motion animation.
It really got...
Which of our followers remember Gumby?
That's tweet not important in. Right now.
It's important to me. I want to know how old I am.
I don't care about Gumby either. But I'm sure we will have people who write in and say they love Gumby.
I hope so.
Yeah.
It was just so crazy, and the things they did with it, and like the whole like I don't want to see this.
I like the switch. Okay,
it was interesting. No, I'm not saying it's good or bad, but it was so crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Here's where I feel like a major ball was dropped with the stop motion.
Received.
Good one.
When they switched eyes. That's a sentence I never thought I'd say talking about Girl Meets World. But when they switched eyes and Riley was seeing the world scary the way Maya sees it, and then suddenly I thought she was going to say, wait, Lucas is my brother? Or Lucas is my... And then gets cut off and Maya's like, wait, give me my eyes back. Well, I don't want you to...
Technically, like, that doesn't actually make sense, because the whole thing is that Riley normally is supposed to see her as the him as the brother. Riley herself, not Maya. So
no, but they did some. There's some things. I don't even want to talk about that. Honestly.
Because it's supposed to be that. I mean, if we hadn't, it would be the same thing. It would be when Maya gets Riley's eyes, she would again be like, "Oh brother," and
"Oh brother." Okay, so I want to talk about this, like the Beetlejuice kind of thing going on.
What?
Oh yeah.
Well, first of all, the forcing them to dance, and that's starting the dance number, and the whole
shake, Serena.
Serona.
Sharona.
Hot feet.
All right. Watch Beetlejuice.
Yes. Anyway, what were you gonna say, Heath?
And the eyes thing too, like kind of like they turning into claymation and like doing grotesque things.
Does that happen in Beetlejuice?
The ghosts are. Yeah. I know they call them claymation exactly, but I think they're kind of like that, and they're doing things with eyeballs coming.
Yeah, they're
on,
like
that.
They're pushing their face, and like one of them pushes their eyeball into their head, and they open their mouth, and it's like at the back of their throat.
Yeah, to me, okay, so I want to talk about this claymation thing, because I think that a lot of people will see this, and they're like, oh, look at this crazy thing, it's so fun, whatever. I understand, like, if you've never seen this before, or if you just like seeing these particular characters like that, sure. And I think it was funny. But I've seen this before, and I've seen it done really, really well on Community in Season 2 for their Christmas episode. They had a whole episode where someone had a mental break and started seeing everything as claymation. And everybody was worried about this person being like, what's wrong with you? And so they went with them on his crazy Christmas journey to figure out what happened to him. And so there's all this metaphorical stuff, and he's going through some sort of trauma. And it's just like a really fun episode with like all sorts of craziness. The whole episode is claymation. And it just, works because there's a drama behind it, and there's more than just like the look how crazy it is that we're claymation. That's like the first 5 seconds, and then it gets into a story that has a beginning, middle, and end. And this episode did not have the girls did not have a goal. They did not have stakes. They did not have an antagonist really, because they were friends with the ghost. They did not.
I also really it bothered me that they didn't actually go in the haunted house and didn't actually see. Like,
if well, they was, did. They did go in. They yeah, did went in. Right, but they didn't see show them.
It. Yeah. If there was any story in this to be unlocked, it was the other ghost friend.
Yeah.
What happened to those two ghosts that they were both supposedly died young, and how they're connected, and how they
why
get swept
Tessie
up?
Why is Tessie so depressed now?
How can they get swept up in that story? That was the interesting thing that they could have made this about, and they like didn't even show the inside of the haunted house.
Yeah. It was like they were going for some sort of weird pseudo message. If I was going to try to come up with a message, I would think it was something about like people being
don't forget to have fun,
or like
don't forget to have friends.
Yeah, it's
have friends.
It's important for things to go on and there to be
visit
legacy.
Your ghost friends, or yeah. They get sad.
It's about like the house gets lonely without life in it.
Yeah, but I can also see there's sort of like a
which actually could be interesting. Yeah. If they personified the house more and they made it more lonesome.
Yeah.
And there's a longing, like an actual good ghost story, which they just really just glanced over.
I think there
or
was
Tessie could have been like an old woman and like alive, but she just didn't like people being around. She didn't like kids being around, and
that would have been really rude of them to use her house then
for the Central Park spectacular.
I'm saying they could have done it a little differently.
Yeah, there's a lot
and
of
like particular. And it was because her friend died young.
That could have again. It's the backstory of those ghosts. Yeah,
no, there
whether
wasn't
she's a ghost.
There
or
wasn't
just,
a
yeah,
story.
Yeah, like she used
here.
To be a really fun-loving person that loves to dance, and then her friend yeah. died young, and she had no one to be in the bay window.
I think there's supposed to be some sort of thing about like tradition or nostalgia or like the importance of things going on
don't
or,
let things change too
yeah,
much.
I don't know if it's about things not changing. It's about no matter what happens, at least something needs to happen here.
Yeah, it's just nothing. It's not saying anything. It's like if any, like this is an opportunity with something called the Ghost of the Bay Window. There's an opportunity here to get more deep into what the Bay Window represents to the show, which the Bay Window actually has a lot of symbolic power in this show, and instead of enriching that, they...
With the phrase alone, the Ghost of the Bay Window, it makes me kind of conjure up this imagery of something happened in the Bay Window, where there was an argument or something, and there becomes a personification of this ghost, which isn't an actual ghost, but is some sort of painful memory of something that happened between the girls. And then it gets personified with this Halloween story, and that is how you explain the wackiness, and it all comes down to they solve the argument or problem or whatever happened.
Well, think about Tot, right? Mm-hmm. So Tot's insane, but it's supposed to be because until the very end where everybody goes insane and everybody gets the Tot, it's that Riley's a quirky, crazy character who obsesses over things. And it's a lot like the end of Boy Meets World Season 1 where Corey starts seeing Feenies everywhere.
Correct.
And so, like, you could have something like that where there's some sort of trauma or something that affected Riley and she starts freaking out and not sleeping enough and that, she creates a ghost for herself. Mm-hmm. And that has some sort of meaning. And you can still have fun and have spooky things and you can have crazy things, but I said, if you want to go totally off the wall, do something like a full musical episode where it's based on a dream or have a all cartoon episode that is cartoons for a reason. Or like, it's just throwing things into the air for no reason is something that I don't...
It's kind of lazy.
Yeah, it's... I expect more. That's the thing. Because it's one thing, like, in some ways, like, you should rate this as far as, like, it's trying to be silly and filler. So, like, why am I being so harsh on it? At the same time, like, I just expect more. I know they can do better than this.
Well, it's like what you were saying, is that the silly and zany means more when it's either the drama, such as the character and community that was having the trauma going on, or it's representative, like the puberty episode.
Yeah.
I think that even more basic than that is, it's not even about how poignant the comedy, it's about there's literally needs to be some sort of thread that ties things together in universe, whether it's a specific gimmick of an episode or some sort of explaining away of something. Something that in-universe, whether it's this episode breaks the universe or not, there needs to be something in-universe which says all the things that happen within this half-hour period, this 22-minute period or whatever, are connected for this reason.
Well, also, I think sort of connecting with best friends, whatever, I think that that is a crazy episode too. But like the Boy Meets World episode, everything follows logically. Each thing goes into each thing. And even though each thing is like kooky, the characters are going after something. Like, the girls start the episode and they have a goal of getting to this place. Then they're at this place and they have a goal of getting back. They're trying to do something. Whereas Riley...
They're really never happy where they are. Yeah.
Right.
When they go to the haunted house, they're there.
Yeah.
And then something happens off camera and then they're back.
Yeah.
There's really... The whole thing is like, we really want to go. Well, let's spend 5 minutes talking about who's going to take you. Yeah. Now we're there. Let's talk about 5 minutes about who are we going to get left alone. Then they go in and then they're back.
Yeah.
And then nothing happens.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the ghost comes back, and then, like, nothing happens. They have no journey, they have no desire, they have not, like, it's...
It's all a framework.
Yeah, it's just...
It's all a lot of talking, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of talking.
It's, like, pretty... It's 99% just talking in this episode.
Yeah. And I think, I want to throw in some positives. Like, I think Topanga's a little bit better than usual.
Topanga is surprisingly well-used in this episode, because it's interesting... How it had nothing to do with her.
Mm.
You girls love me, right? To pieces, Topanga.
I love that.
That is my favorite.
Yeah.
But she just really had a solid part unfolding. What unfolded, if there was anything, she had one of the more significant parts is actually letting things go forward.
Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense. You know what another version of this episode could have been is the full drama is about... Can the girls be on their own? Are they are they actually safe on their own?
Yeah.
Are they actually ready to go out and be on their own? We're gonna prove it to them
in Central Park at night on Halloween.
That's the good point. Yeah, like they really shouldn't probably be alone.
No, and then they want to leave them with these random strangers, one of which might be a celebrity. Let's not forget they're in New York City.
Yeah. I wanted to.
That town's not so tough.
So I wanted to say, when I was talking with Best Friends Whenever, because we've been talking a lot about how you can have an actual character arc, you can have actual drama behind everything. Best Friends Whenever doesn't really have that. Best Friends Whenever... So, Girl Meets World doesn't have character development, it doesn't have a message, and it doesn't have a plot. Best Friends Whenever at least has a plot. And so it has, like, why they're doing this, why they're going to this place, what they're trying to do here, as opposed to just things happening. And so there is a thread, and so...
And I would say more effectively than that is the fact that no matter what happens, even though there are rules that are hyperbolic and there are crazy things happening, anything that the characters are doing is organic and believable from what the characters are as you understand it in the series.
Yeah. And also that the series... is in and of itself crazy. The premise is crazy. So I'm already buying into, at the base level of the show, these girls are time traveling. Well, the base level, the premise of the show, the girls can time travel. So I'm already not going into it with Girl Meets World, which is, this is a real show where real life happens.
This is a drama.
Yeah. Well, not a drama, but it's a down-to-earth comedy. You know, it's supposed to be you're supposed to relate to it, it's supposed to feel like it's real world. Whereas the core thing of Best Friends Whenever is really about, look at the zany adventures we can go on, and maybe along the way we'll have some character development or something. But as far as I can tell, there isn't a whole lot of lessons being taught or whatever.
Yeah, it's
regular teen girls.
Yeah.
It's not feigning any sort of moral superiority.
Yeah. All right. Do you have anything else you want to say about Girl Meets World that can we get into Best Friends Whenever, Lucas and Riley edition?
Just that in the claymation, when they're talking about what's in all their heads, Riley's get the bunnies and the rainbows and the
unicorn
pizzazz, and then all that's in Maya's head is Riley.
Yep.
So,
lots of little Rileys.
Lots of little
crazy Rileys.
Little crazy Rileys.
All that's on Maya's mind, all that's in Maya's head is Riley.
Well,
take it what you will.
We should talk about, so many people are saying this Lizzie McGuire connection, and I can get it as far as, like, the animated, like, the 2D animated portions of this, but if they really were going for a Lizzie McGuire connection, I don't understand why the whole thing wasn't just 2D.
It was just, there was a certain attitude, and it was also had to do with how the girls were saying their lines, and how those related to the animation. I know that the actual animation, claymation versus the 2D animation is different, But there was something about how the character is jumping around. It's obviously the size of the character.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think it's also the shape of the head and stuff like that.
I can see that, I guess.
It's also, I think, the
I mean, Maya the jumping character. Around thing to me is just, like, cartoons. Like, that's not, like, specific to Lizzie McGuire.
No, but interacting with the real world sometimes and stuff like I that. Guess. How the intro. Mm. I just immediately saw that.
Yeah.
So, I understand.
Yeah. All right. I do really like the dance numbers. I think they're really fun to watch, yeah. And the actors did a great job.
That was really good choreography.
Keith gets a point because Sabrina legitimately sang for her whole song-ish. So he wins the point as far
hot
as...
Hot in the middle?
Hot feet. Hot feet. Yeah. The point is, if you're new to the podcast, the point is that we did predictions, and one of Keith's predictions for this year, I guess.
Is that Sabrina will sing
within the next year.
Yeah. Within the next year, starting a few months ago. So, yes, Keith gets a point. Let's get into Best Friends Whenever.
Best Friends Whenever.
So, can I start?
Yeah.
Overall, what I really like about this episode is the attitude. It's pretty laid back, and it's kind of fun that they're trapped in the haunted house and looking for something, and then other things happen. So there's an interesting layering of different storylines, even though they're happening very close to another. And it kind of reminded me of, like, an old DCOM a little bit. It just, there was a little bit more of something genuine in this story that I enjoy. I really felt like I could imagine myself in the haunted house room with those characters.
Yeah.
I think that's a great aspect of a show. I think especially Halloween episodes, it's always fun.
Mm.
You know, I did not see myself anywhere in the Girl Meets World episode. I could see myself with those kids in the Best Friends Whenever episode. I thought that was a great attitude thing, and it was fun, and they also had that really organic.
I do want to throw out, off the bat, I think the B plot is not awesome. I know you like the ending of it. It's okay. I mean, I've only seen the first two episodes and then this episode of Best Friends Whenever. You guys have only seen this episode, correct? All right, so I don't remember Naldo that much from previous episodes.
I don't like Naldo.
We really don't like Naldo. Really don't think that he's working. Not a fan of him. Barry, a little bit more successful.
Still, that's the tuxedo guy.
Yeah.
Kind of Farkle-y.
Yeah.
A little sparkly.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, we said he's like kind of like how Farkle should have been at the beginning.
Yeah, I still think that Barry needs some work, but yeah. He is okay.
But I thought he was funny.
I liked him giving out the random crap, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I thought, he was funny. He was obviously, the actor was obviously, working with what he was given, I think. I think the act, he could step up his game a bit, but they're only 9 episodes in.
I guess, also just to throw in, we're not going to really recap the episode, so this has Riley and Lucas in it. If you're a Girl Meets World fan, it's totally worth checking out. We think it's better than the Girl Meets World episode, yeah. So go check it out.
As a Halloween episode, it's definitely better than the Girl Meets World episode, and Riley and Lucas play a much bigger role in this episode than the two other guest stars did in the Girl Meets World episode.
They're like, they're pretty solidly important.
And on top of that, they had also really good chemistry with the stars of this show.
Yes, and the Best Friend Whenever girls have very good chemistry with each other.
Yeah, and I also wish, as much as I liked Lucas in this, I also wish that Maya was also there, because I think that all of them, if they did an actual crossover episode that was a little bit more, I could totally see all these characters interacting.
Yeah. I liked what you said before, Dan, that it should have just been an hour special with all of them.
Yeah.
With, all of whoever's included with the crossover, and you could see, it would just be everyone got locked into a different room.
Yeah.
And you can see what, Scooby-Doo. And,
yeah, we could have, a Clue or Scooby-Doo's, parody going on.
Yeah, awesome. The Best Friend Whatever girls were with Riley and Lucas, Maya and Farkle were with Austin and Allie, and whoever else is involved with this weekend, I don't know.
Where's my Lucas and Farkle trick-or-treating? Where's that? Where's that at?
Well, okay, so also, I want to talk about the fact that, so Maya and Riley go into the haunted house together. Maya's just gone, and Lucas is there. The only thing that they have that they can say of why this makes sense is that the girls change back time, and that nothing in the episode ever actually happens. So, maybe in the original weird alternate reality,
Maya wasn't there
or something.
And it was a Halloween date?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it is interesting that he was wearing an outfit that fit with Riley's.
That's true.
Did the ghost give him that off screen randomly?
The ghost didn't dress them up as flappers. She just gave them the idea. But she, so Riley could have been did... like, Lucas, I'm going to dress up as a flapper. You should dress up like this. Yeah.
She did dress up
as a dandy.
She did dress up the Austin and Allie characters.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's interesting.
But Lucas looked better than Austin. So one thing that bothered me about the haunted house was just... I really liked the joke with the painting, you know, giving them the keys, and it was actually, in the end, not all a part of the experience of the haunted house. It was all mechanical or whatever.
Well, I got that at the beginning.
I understand, but it's like, at the very end, he opens the door and everything. Mm-hmm. I understand it was part of the haunted house.
Yeah.
But I kind of wish it was Tessie, so that it linked with the other episode, so it explained why they ran out.
Here's the thing, as far as for the sake of the Girl Meets World episode, I can see why you would want that, and that's what when I finished Girl Meets World, that's what I was assuming was going to be happening in Best Friends Whenever.
Yeah.
At the same time, for the sake of the Best Friends Whenever episode, I think Tessie would have been out of nowhere, wouldn't have fit the world of the show.
That's true, they would have needed the hour special.
Because honestly, like, and we can debate this if you want, but the fact that everything in the Best Friends Whenever universe is based on pseudoscience, to me, is important. And if they just randomly had a ghost come in...
Well, I guess the aliens was the joke.
Yeah, so, like, if they just had an actual...
But aliens are science.
Yeah. Like, you can completely buy into everything in that episode because that show is based on science fiction. And yes, teleporting and becoming ghost-like is a little crazy, but it would have, if they had actually had an actual ghost come in midway through the episode, it just would have felt like not in the right place. Yeah,
we also found out that Lucas is a cuddle bunny. Is that canon?
He is a cuddle bunny?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to call the fandom.
A bunny bro.
So, a bro. Well, I guess it's still a brony.
Yeah, so I'm assuming that this is a parody of bronies. I'm not... Maybe there actually is a cuddle bunny thing that I don't know about, but I assume this is all parody of bronies.
I hope not.
And I actually really like the jokes here. I think that's pretty clever. Especially, like, when Sid talks about not understanding the mythology, why are there no tops to these carrots? I thought that was really great. Also, I don't know what the chainsaw girl is supposed to be. The only thing I could think of is, have you guys ever heard of the video game Lollipop Chainsaw?
No.
Sounds familiar.
It's this game with, like, cheerleaders with chainsaws killing things.
Is this a Japanese game?
It's a Japanese game.
Yeah, I've seen reviews of it on Kotaku.
Yeah. That's the only thing I could think of. You guys both mentioned she reminded you of Harley Quinn, which you can certainly see too, but we haven't actually graded Best Friends Whenever.
Pause. Because I wanted to make a connection real quick.
And we never will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just want to talk about the haunted house set.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Because in Girl Meets World, they were only ever outside of it, and they had a lot of conversations were happening. Then they ran inside and then ran right back out. I think that nothing that they said on the outside of the house could have gained anything by not going in and saying those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that the fact that they showed a computer-generated image of the outside of the house in Best Friends or whatever, and then they had the set for the interior, and I actually...
And they also had a set for the outside, because Paula had her cheese dots.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but that wasn't the front of the house. That was just on
the
side.
But it was still better than what Girl Meets World offered.
And so I think there was just... If Disney Channel, somewhere in Disney Channel... They had the interior set.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they filmed these at around the same time. They must have.
Probably, right? Yeah.
Why not just...
Share sets?
Just use the inside set. I mean, that was a great set. And
yeah,
I think
it was really
that they could have actually gone inside the haunted house and it would have been great. And I don't see why they just stand on the outside of a crappy facade.
Well, and let's talk about Boy Meets World as well, because with their set, like, they brought in the balcony. When you were standing on the first level of the guy's apartment, you can see the second level clearly, and then you can see outside to the balcony and the apartment across.
First or second?
Like, the level, like, there's stairs in the apartment.
Yeah, okay. I guess I'm called a level, but...
Yeah, I'm not calling it a floor, I'm calling it a level.
Okay. I just was confused.
Level 5.
Anyways. So you can see all the way outside and what's across from you in the outside in Boy Meets World.
It's a lot of depth.
Yeah. And with the plane as well... More so just the angles.
The exterior shot of the plane was not awesome, but the inside of the plane was pretty great.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
that was just stock footage.
And so, honestly, I don't know who this person is, But, like, who is their set person on Girl Meets World? Because we've had this issue with sets for a really long time
More importantly, I think it's, why are they not spending their money on the set, and they're spending their money on special effects which are less needed than other things?
You mean like the claymation and stuff?
Yeah, well, I mean just in general. Whenever they have an episode that they really talk up for being, like, really fun,
yeah,
it's always because they have a lot of special effects and makeup and stuff, like the last Halloween episode.
Yeah.
If you look it back at kind of, like, the old shows that we really enjoy, especially Halloween shows, it's not really about the special effects, it's about setting. It's all about setting.
Well, yeah, like, I think one of the weakest parts of the Boy Meets World episode is that light beam hitting it. I mean, it looks really stupid.
Yeah.
That's fine. But it's, I mean, it's
all about... But it's also very campy, and so you allow it. Yeah.
When it comes to Halloween, and I think really, even past that, I enjoy getting into time and place, which I cannot do with a set that I do not see myself walking around.
I mean, I thought that
Girl Meets World always looks fakey.
I think that the set of the outside of the haunted house was probably, I would say... potentially the worst they've ever had, as far as the literally the door to the haunted house looked like painted or like not real at all.
Well, it looked like a theater department set.
Yeah, no, it looked like I was walking a play.
Yeah, I agree
and
with
I
that.
Know that like the tone of that scene was more theatrical and was more like I'm walking a musical, but you're also supposed to believe that they're actually in front of this
and
haunted
you know
house.
Something? I would have had no problem if the entire episode had a whole bunch of sets like that. If there was some sort of gimmick or
reason
why everything is like a musical,
yeah.
Everything's like a play.
Yeah, because it's not like they had a nice set and then the ghost magically made it into some fakey set.
Yeah.
It's just supposed to be the real set and then it looks totally fake. I do want to grade Best Runs in Ever. I think that for me, I would probably go, I don't know, like C+, maybe B-. At the end of the day, it is completely just filler. There's no characterization, really. There's no message of any kind. But it's a fun episode. I think the B-plot, for me, mostly totally doesn't work. Naldo really hurts it a lot. And the ending is okay, but to me, I've seen that a lot of times before. It did not feel fresh to me, but I understand enjoying it. I think Sid and Shelby play off each other very well in this episode. I don't know how they do in other episodes. Like, maybe this is their bits here are sort of tired to people who have seen past episodes, and it's the same thing over and over again. But having only seen 3 episodes, it feels fresh. I really like Sid. I think that Sid is cynical and is sarcastic in a way that is, like, real.
Maya, yeah. She's like the Maya that they were too afraid to actually get there.
She's like morose. And, like, Marisha. Yeah. But I like it. And Shelby is not full-on Riley. She's more just, like, peppy, but, like... But in some ways, I think she's flatter than Riley. In some ways, I like that she's not as crazy as Riley.
Also, we don't know from this
episode. We don't know. I enjoy their interactions a lot. I think that the fear-punching thing was hilarious.
Yeah, I just Sid is the character.
Yeah, Sid is the fear-puncher.
I really just want to reiterate. I mean... That character of Sid, I really feel, is the character of Maya that we keep getting told about but not shown. I think that's important.
And that's because, I mean, she didn't really do bad things. She broke a lot of stuff, but...
She didn't do...
She had that thick sarcasm.
She just had this almost wanton abandon.
Mm.
I think... I just feel like it's always... Like a safety.
Yeah.
Always
she
a
wasn't
safety
so
on
afraid.
Maya.
Yeah, she wasn't so afraid to hurt Shelby's feelings, even though she wasn't like mean.
Well, it's not like Maya doesn't make fun of people constantly.
No, I know, but I feel like we're always told things about Maya that are overstated. I don't care if Maya's mean or not, but don't say she is if she's not. You know what I mean? Don't say she's tough if she's not. You know what I mean? I don't care.
Mm. Well, what I was like the moment where Sid gets, like, excited to see the bunnies get chopped up by the chainsaw. Like, I think Maya would be too scared that Riley would get freaked out over that. Mm. Whereas, like, this is just what Sid enjoys.
Well, I really enjoyed that she came over with her laptop, and her laptop had, like, skulls on it. Like, like that's, like, a very simple thing, but that's, like... Like, Maya is so... All the dressing they put around Maya is not fitting with the character. Like, if they had actually had her be wearing it was better before when she was wearing classic rock t-shirts.
You know what's really interesting? It's her claymation had, like, the flannel on.
Yeah.
It's like, I said this.
And jeans.
Yeah, if Maya dressed the way her claymation dressed, I would get that a lot more.
But like, I liked that she had these classic rock t-shirts, and they could have actually made that part of who she was. She was into, like, hard rock or something, you know, something like a little more edgy that actually connects to her character. Whereas, like, It would be like if Shelby always wore skulls, but then was happy-go-lucky. Like, it wouldn't, doesn't make
well,
any...
Well, I mean, like, I don't know, that's... But I just I think it really is. It's a suffering, the same way how they couldn't decide if Riley's going to be smart or not. They couldn't decide whether Maya's going to be tough or not.
Or really, how much she'll actually
Yeah, and
be.
So I think it's just residual elements of them saying certain things about characters, but not actually showing them because the actress is more comfortable with portraying certain qualities and is having more fun doing certain things. Therefore, they're steering that direction, but forgetting to abandon other things, and it's just confusing.
Yeah. I think it's...
Or what the audience is reacting to, or what they see the audience reacting to, like, on Twitter or whatever. Yeah.
Well, it's here's the thing. So, like, I feel like Maya is sassy, and that Sabrina does a good job with the sassiness, but there isn't really... And she, like, says, I guess, like, sort of cynical things, like, there's no hope, or, like, my life sucks, or whatever. but there's not, like,
there's
I don't...
There's no hope.
But it's not funny.
Well, no, I think there's plenty of times
where I'm saying the no hope thing.
Okay, sure, but I'm trying to find exactly what the word is that I'm looking for from Sid as far as she's, like, actually, like, bitter, or like...
Crass, maybe.
Or, like, detached, maybe.
Yeah.
There's something about her being more, like... apathetic. There's mm-hmm. nothing apathetic about
Maya. She reminds me of Daria.
Yeah, I can see that a little bit.
She's
more just like detached and cynical, but not in a cliche way, I guess.
She's edgy.
Yeah. And I definitely would like more of that from Maya.
It's kind of like how we were talking about Maya not being interested in guys and stuff like that and being above that early on.
Yeah.
And then
exactly.
That just all went away.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Yeah, the detached thing of sort of mocking everything that's going on around you. Because Maya, like, does make fun of people, but it's more in a... It's more of, like, in a sassy way.
Teasing.
Than, yeah, like, more in a teasy way than I'm actually...
More than, like, a self-defense mechanism is, like, I'm different than this. I have to separate myself from it.
As opposed to just, like, observing the world and
this
thinking
is just
how...
part of who she is.
Yeah. But I don't want to hate him. Like, I think Maya is a solid character. Mm-hmm. I think that Sabrina's doing a great job. I don't want to be saying, like, Sabrina's doing a good
job. It's just troubling when they, like...
It's more writing than anything else. And we, especially in season two... I feel like they've lost their direction with Maya, what they want, and it's frustrating, and I don't know if it's because they're, I don't know if it's they're trying to make Riley the protagonist more again, even though they're not really succeeding with that still.
Well, I mean, they've
it's
been
getting
better
in the last, like, month or so, though. I don't know what happened.
Riley was more protagonist in Best Friends Whenever than she was in this Girl Meets World episode.
But I don't really feel like either of them was the protagonist.
Yeah, I'm not saying that she was outshone. I was just saying, like...
Well, yeah, no, but if you're looking back, the last 2 weeks before this were Cory, Topanga, and Riley Town. Those were very Riley-centric episodes.
Yeah.
They were not, you know, Maya episodes.
Yeah, but we're not talking about those right now, are we, Dan?
Yeah, but she was saying in the last month that generally, lately, they've been doing a lot better job with that. So, okay, so I graded Best Friends Whenever. You guys never graded Best Friends Whenever.
I'm going to give it a solid B because I enjoyed the atmosphere and I enjoyed the attitude. I had a fun time experiencing the story with those characters.
Yeah, it's a little hard to grade this just because we haven't seen it before, but watching the episode, I also want to watch more episodes. I really liked the chemistry between the girls. I thought that, what was Boy Genius's name?
Barry, I believe.
Barry is funny.
I feel like you gave a different name last time you said it.
It is Barry.
Okay.
And, you know, it was really cute. It was funny. It was well written, I thought. I liked the personality. So, yeah, I'm going to give it a B.
So, can I ask you guys a question?
You can try.
Yeah.
As far as grades go.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is very standalone, obviously, because we've never seen anything else.
Yeah, but... like, you guys giving this a B and then giving Riley Town what you gave Riley Town, do you think that this is that much better than Riley Town, or are you not grading it
I'm not versing this towards Girl Meets World. When I graded Riley Town, a lot of it was based off of what I was promised, what it was supposed to be, and then how it really portrayed everything and how I felt about that. On a personal level and on a message level.
Okay, so what you're saying is you're not putting them on like a scale. You're not like being like this is a C minus because it's one of the weaker episodes of the series. You're saying against what the quality it could be.
Yeah, my expectations and what I've been provided. I wasn't grading Riley Town versus like I forget what exactly I gave it. I think a C, C minus.
Yeah, something like that.
And so I'm not saying that it's on par with another episode that I gave a C, C minus.
Actually, I think you gave it a C plus.
Riley Town, I think, is a difficult
example.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting.
It had lofty goals like we've talked about.
Yeah.
I think it's not a good example to...
Well, no, I think it's a perfect example because I think that, to me, Riley Town is clearly one of the best episodes of the series. So if you're giving it a C, that's a good example to say I'm grading it against what I think it could be as opposed to... Because when I'm giving it a B+, I'm giving it a B+, because there's no way I'm going to give it lower than that because I think it's way better than most of the other episodes. And mm-hmm. a lot of the other episodes I gave in, like, you know, the B range.
It's a balance because there's a lot of high points and there's a lot of low points.
Yeah.
So I'm not just going to rate something high because it tipped higher at its highest point. I think it needs to all find that middle space where I even out the highs and the lows, find where that average is, and that's what I'm going
to do. Well, I think that that's interesting because to me, look, say something like Girl Meets Game Night, right? Yeah. Very just like sort of bland episode. Not much happens, not much offensively is bad about it, not much is good about it. And I don't remember what I graded it, but in my mind it's like maybe like a C plus or a B minus. So there's no way I'm going to grade Riley Town lower than I graded Game Night because Riley Town had such... I believe that scenes in Riley Town are better than anything in the first season and a half of Boy Meets World. I think that there are moments there, that there are more dramatic things there, more powerful things. Like, nothing is quite as emotional as that to me in the first season and a half of Boy Meets World. Yeah. I think it's one of the best, if not the best episode of Girl Meets World, honestly.
I think we're going to have to come back to this because for me, Riley Town is still a little too close.
Yeah.
I think that I had so much disappointment from that, and I got really excited, so I need some time before we can get into that.
Okay, that's fine. We can maybe, when we actually finally have a hiatus, it's so funny, like, I was, like, so upset about hiatuses last year, and now I'm like, can we please have a hiatus, please?
We want to have some little extra stuff.
Opposed to, like, having two episodes to talk about this week. Next week is Invisible Sister and Ra Ra, and then we have a three-part weekend episode. We need a break.
But, I mean, in terms of my grading for this
Best
Friends Whenever, I just think that most importantly in my grading is, like, my overall takeaway, like, the taste of my mouth walking away. And I think in this case, it was, even though it was nothing particularly special, and I wasn't crazy about the B-plot, I really enjoyed the attitude, and it gave me a lasting good feeling, as opposed to being really confused or being angry that they missed these things. I think this, I gave it a B because I think it was solid. It was good. I would call it good. It was fun. I really enjoyed the character interactions. There was nothing that really smashed it upon the rocks for me. You know, there was the, what was it, Ronaldo.
Yeah.
It was annoying, but I liked the joke of him jumping out of the chair, but it wasn't even him.
Yeah.
So I thought that it was just a solid, funny episode that kind of, it felt whole. It just felt like everything that needed to be there was there. Mm-hmm. There was nothing huge missing. Obviously, they could have added more, but there was nothing missing.
I also didn't just have high expectations. I didn't know if they had lofty goals or not.
Yeah.
And so I was just able to sit back and enjoy an episode and also enjoy Riley and Lucas having really good chemistry and, like, being in a new situation I haven't seen them in before. See, that's what I'm talking about. It's like a fanfic. You get to do whatever you want with your characters you really like and put them in a situation and explore new things about them, like Riley and Lucas. And, like,
that's
funny...
also just a show.
But I'm saying you can go more.
You can go
all
wacky.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, well, so we haven't really.
I'm saying as far as, like, what a writer wouldn't usually get to do in their series.
Yeah.
They can have an excuse. Also, two random things from the Best Friends Whenever that I really liked. It was both New York jokes. The one with the five locks on a door. Welcome to New York.
Yeah, that was good.
And then, the pickles?
Yeah,
thing?
If you understand pickles, let us know.
Is pickles the New York?
But also, it was like something very specific. It wasn't just like, it was like you could find pickles anywhere or something weird like
that. Yeah, she's like, who leaves pickles in a jar randomly in a room? This is New York City. What?
Yeah, I didn't get it. What was the other, you said there was another thing that you really liked.
That was just the two, it wasn't that I liked two things, it's just I liked one thing.
I want to talk more specifically about Riley and Lucas in this episode, because we barely touched on the Girl Meets World characters.
I think at this point we spent more time talking about Best Friends Whenever than either of the two other ones.
That's fine, it's the best. Not really, it's no Boy Meets World.
Whenever.
Yes. Let's talk about Riley and Lucas on this episode. So, I think, I agree, I really like...
Riley knows something about Lucas, and it's a secret, and she spilled the beans.
Well, here's the thing...
They're on the same wavelength. Hi, I'm Riley.
Yes. I really liked that with her knowing about the cuddle bunny thing. At the same time, so I like, and I think that fits his character, right? Yes. That he has this.
That he's a brody.
Yeah. But at the same time, when are we going to get something like that for Riley? Like, it's so, like, it's so frustrating to me that
specificity.
Yeah, that Lucas has far too many interests. And she has none. Her interests are princess things and unicorns, which are just so arbitrary and out there. She has nothing that she, aside from, like...
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think they watched the Bunny Show together? Because if so, that would be great.
Yes.
So Riley just has all of her shows that she watches with specific people, like Dan.
Yes.
But since you brought this up, I kind of want to bring up what I was talking about before with you guys. So Riley reminds me a lot of certain anime tropes, especially in shoujo anime, which is directed towards girls, and also reverse harem animes.
Harem?
Harem.
Sounds like you're talking about harem.
That is what it's talking
about. Why? So is it all boys are having sex with girls?
No, it's... No, it's just that there is a... What a reverse harem is, like, especially the more tamer ones, it's just that there's one girl and all these boys are interested in her.
Oh, okay.
That's all
the storyline is developed around a central character and their connections to a
all
circle
these boys.
Of characters
yeah.
around.
Okay.
It's not, like, specifically, like, sexual or she's married to all of them or anything like that. It's just that they're all interested in her.
Okay.
Anyways, and so one of the major tropes of those, of those genres is that the main girl is pretty bland as far as her personality. Her major characteristics that you see are she's very nice, she usually likes school, and she cares about everyone, and she's always taking care of everyone, like she'll heal you, she'll touch. I mean,
are you being literal?
Like with her like crystal, with her magic crystal?
No, I just mean like she'll have band-aids on hand, or she'll take care of you when you're sick.
Let me heal you.
She'll take care of you when you're sick, or she'll listen to your problems or anything like that. Like she's just the overall good girl, and that's why everyone likes her. Yeah. And the whole point is so
anybody can relate to.
Yeah, whoever's watching can picture themselves being in that position.
I don't think that Riley's bland. He's clearly a character. I don't think he is just an avatar for the audience or, you know, a cipher for us to put ourselves in there. I think that he very clearly has specific characteristics that not everyone is going to relate to. A lot of people will relate to Maya over her, and a lot of people will relate to Riley. And I think in some way she's supposed to be, like, the underdog or whatever. But at the same time, why can't she have interests that are ongoing interests? Like I was saying earlier, why can't she like musical theater and every year hope that she can do well, but she's bad at it, but she keeps trying. Like,
and she's always stage crew.
Yeah,
instead.
And she like then we can have ongoing things where she like pops up and like.
Actually love that if she every year she got stage crew, and so like she has to wear the all black and go out when the lights are off, and then like she's like trying to like. Act like dramatically, but like no one can see her while she's
at the same time she's overprotective of the actors and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and overbearing maybe. I just want to backtrack to the Lucas being a bunny bro.
Yes,
because
a bunny bro.
I have a little fanfic in my head.
Oh my!
Of the girls watching Red Planet Diaries.
Yeah,
and then Lucas comes over, and then they make Maya leave because it's a secret from her. And then Riley and Lucas watch the Bunny Show.
Amazing.
Yes.
Or, like, at first, for a second, I was like, does Lucas have a little sister? Or does he really just watch this on his own?
You know, that would almost make sense to me.
Yeah.
If he had a little sister.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been wondering that for a while, actually. If, like, you know, sibling situation or if he's an only child.
There are a couple of specific moments in this episode I want to talk about as far as... So, like, I like... How when the girls are knocking everything over and they're like, wow, the special effects are really good. And then when he's being swirled around, he's like, this is really weird, right?
Yeah, that was great.
Then
his acting was good.
I think we all really enjoyed when the girls took over Riley's body. And
Sid.
So yeah, Sid took over Riley's body and she goes, I'm in control of Riley. And he goes,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to push you.
Yeah, I shouldn't have pushed you.
You can go when you want to go. Lucas doesn't care.
I thought that
was
really funny.
That's hurtful.
I care about a lot of things.
Yeah,
or
no.
When
Hayden is hilarious.
Yeah,
he's like really a good actor.
And or when Shelby was like talking about consent, about taking over Lucas's body. Yeah. And, like, you know, I know we, I haven't, you can't give me your permission, and,
never
like,
really met.
And, you know, we don't know each other that well, but, and, like, Lucas doesn't care. get into Lucas or something like that, and Luce, like, well, I'm kind of confused about that.
I think we'd get inside Lucas.
Yeah, get inside Lucas.
Yeah.
Yeah, never mind.
It was a great confusing kind of thing.
It was wonderful. Yeah.
And then the whole ending.
It was wonderful and weird.
The whole ending with the hug and the, like, did you just feel weird the last couple minutes, not just growing up? Or that was all. Yeah. That
did
was
your
all
body
really,
just yeah. feel different?
Yeah. That was all really good. I enjoyed that a lot. Great, you know, Rukus moments. Totally.
I just really liked him being his friends there.
Yeah, I agree. Like, there's, like, slight underscore of tension, but it really isn't, like, a romantic-y shipping thing
for
me.
It's just a fun friend thing. And that's why I also wish that the other characters were there. I want to see more things like... I want to see them doing that in Girl Meets World. Going to a haunted house, hanging out, actually doing something together.
To me, they felt organic in that world, too. That they didn't feel like, oh, we're just shoving in these random people.
No, they definitely belonged in those scenes.
And in I also think it's one of those things where... So when I watched Austin and Ally, I was like, look at these two, like... I mean, I don't know how good these characters are on Austin and Ally, but as far as on Girl Meets World, I was like, look at these two cardboard, two-dimensional people.
Yeah.
Whereas I felt like it was, like, there wasn't a ton of, but there was plenty of personality involved in Riley and Lucas, and that it was like, we're having these people come in to be characters and not to just be...
Well, yeah, because you could understand what Riley and Lucas's relationship was, even if you're just a best friends whenever person watching. Yeah. Whereas, like, I don't know what Austin and Ally are supposed to be. Friends? Brother and sister?
I'm pretty
relationship?
Sure they're, like, relationship.
Yeah. But, well, I'm saying, like, they could have literally been any relationship and I would have bought it because I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
They were tomato and bacon.
Yeah.
A perfect combination.
That's true.
All right. Good stuff. One thing I do want to talk about is you were mentioning how once they realized they could hit things.
Yeah. They could have hugged and transformed. Yeah,
they could have hugged and transformed.
Transformed?
Transformed into one being.
I said transported.
Yeah,
so.
I know. That was my bad.
Actually... They couldn't have transported.
No, they could have. They could have traveled back in time. Right. Though,
but they already
did anyway.
Said that if they travel back in time, they can't go to different places. They can only go back in.
No, no.
Time.
Yeah,
no,
that's
no,
true.
No, that's the way that their thing works. Is they teleport? They go back to their body, their brain, their like consciousness goes back in time. Their bodies don't go back in time. So that's the way it works on the show. Is that their consciousness travels from time to time? So their consciousness traveled back to before they teleported.
So they can. As long as it's happened before, they can teleport. Frankly.
No, not teleport.
No, but...
Time
no.
travel.
Yeah, no,
right.
I see
but
what
as long
saying.
As long as they've been somewhere before, they can go there from wherever.
Like,
so
if
they can
last
teleport
week...
and through time if it's happened before.
Yeah, like if sure. like if last week the Best Friends Whatever Girls were at a vacation in Pennsylvania, then if they wanted to travel back in time a week ago, they'd be in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what he means.
Okay, but they're not really teleporting. They're just their consciousness are just going back where they were.
Yeah.
In
we're all
place.
In the same place
here. Sure.
It should be teleportation.
I suppose.
Sort of.
All right. So we're going to end up this Best Friends Whenever stuff. We're going to get into Audible time. Audible.com is our sponsor. Audibletrial.com/EMWPodcast is where you can get your free audiobook download, and it's a free trial, 1 month trial. You can get your free audiobook download there. You can sign up using an Amazon account if you have one. It's a great time. You don't have to stay signed up if you
it's
don't.
It's a great time to be alive.
Whatever. You don't have to stay signed up if you don't want to, but you can get a free audiobook. This week, we are recommending three. Are they all
gothic? Are we actually, though?
Yeah.
I was going to. Are they all gothic? I was going to say gothic classics, but I don't know. Okay. So, Frankenstein, Dracula, and Dorian Gray.
Okay.
All right. Check those out. All classical, horror-y things.
So we should say the author.
Oh, God. Okay.
So Dracula is by Bram Stoker.
Frankenstein is by Mary Shelley.
I have no idea who does Dorian Gray, having never read it. But I hear it's a good time.
Why did you recommend it?
Oh my God, just edit that.
Because I know it's a classic horror. What's wrong with me not knowing? It's a classic horror.
The whole point was that we're recommending things that we know about.
I know about Frankenstein and Dracula, and I assumed one
of you. It's not even called Dorian Gray. It's called The Picture of Dorian Gray.
Well, why didn't you tell me that?
I don't know the book. I thought you knew the book.
Oh, really? Yeah. I thought you would know the book.
No, I don't know it.
We're so good at this, guys. I'm keeping all the things.
Oh, no!
Oh, yeah, no, totally.
Oh, no!
This ruins everything.
My first name.
Let's just recommend
Oscar Wilde.
Oh, that's like a famous guy.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
It sounds familiar.
No, I'm saying that sounds familiar that it's by him.
Okay.
I know Oscar,
Oscar Wilde. That's a name I think I've heard before.
I have literally no idea what he's done. But that's okay. I know he's famous. I'm not an English major. I didn't read it in English class in high school. Why would I know about him?
Because he's so sassy.
Anyway, audible.com, audibletrial.com/GMW podcast, free audiobook download. All right, mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
The mail's here.
So as we get into mail time, if you want to be part of mail time in the future, there's a few ways you can be part of that. You can either tweet us at GMW Podcast on Twitter. You can send us an email, gmwpodcast@gmail.com. We love also voice messages. You can send a voice memo using your phone. You can use record on the computer and email it to us at gmwpodcast.
Try to keep it under or around 3 minutes.
Around 3 minutes, like these great people did. Also, if you want to rate us or review us on iTunes, as two people did this week, and they are very nice. You can do that on iTunes. That'd be super helpful. And check out our YouTube channel. We might actually be doing some sort of Halloween-y thing.
We have to. I mean, yeah. You can't not do a Halloween one.
Yeah.
We'll do our best.
We'll do what we can. All right.
Can I dress up as Chainsaw Chelsea?
As what?
Chainsaw Chelsea.
If you'd like.
He has to be the bear thing, then. Or the bunny.
Bear.
The cuddle bunny. I apologize.
You have to be the cuddle bunny.
You can be the Care Bear.
You can be the dandy.
I'll be the yes, and Lucas.
Yeah.
All right.
You have those clothes on hand. Plus
anywho... well, the whole point is that he has to be the thing he doesn't want to be, and you have to be you want to be the Chainsaw Chelsea. All right.
So
anyway,
what is the point?
The point is that if you want to email us, go to gmwpodcast.com, and you can send us the contact us thing right there. You can check out our YouTube channel from there. You can check our Audible on there. You can check out Twitter on there. It's crazy. Banana pants. All right. We have two voicemails this week. And also, thank you everybody who has had tweets this week, but we're trying to actually keep this as a short podcast for once, which I think we might be succeeding. Let's see how we go. All right, so we have this first voice message, and it's from Emily.
Hey, Gay Gowie, this is Emily, a.k.a. Rara, GMW_R5. So I watched Girl Meets World of Terror 2, and first of all, I was excited for this episode because Austin and Allie and Girl Meets World are my top two shows, and the fact that Ross and Lara, aka Austin and Allie, were going to be guest starring on this, I was really excited. So I was hoping they would interact with Corey and Topanga a little bit more, because I guess they did a little bit, but since they're both couples, it would have been like really cute if Corey and Topanga gave them relationship advice. I had all this planned out, but I got my hopes really high, so it's okay. Anyway, I thought the girls were cute as flapper girls, and the dance that they kept doing kept getting stuck in my head, the song, and it was very catchy. All the kids were cute. I thought they were used, like, a good amount. I mean, they were used a lot, but I don't think it was too much. Maybe just a little bit too much, but a pretty good amount for the way that they were used. And the whole joke about Doi's name got a little old after a while, just because that was the only joke they had about him. But he did get a little bit of other stuff, and I'm glad that he and Topanga are friends now. So that's fun. I think they had a pretty good balance between the girls and the younger kids. And I saw on Twitter that you guys were asking, like, which one is better, Girl Meets World of Terror or Girl Meets World of Terror 2. And I'm really not sure. I mean, James Coach wasn't in this one, but I feel like I'm a little biased because I saw some opinions on Twitter already. But maybe Girl Meets World of Terror 1, just because, first of all, Farkle and Lucas weren't in this one. So, I don't know, they mentioned them, so it made it seem like they were in it, but they weren't. Anyway, so I thought it was a pretty good episode overall, Girl Meets World of Terror 2, and it's probably not one of my favorite episodes, but, I mean, it was a good episode, and I think it stayed consistent with the overall theme. I mean, of course, it was, like, more supernatural than other episodes, but it was pretty good. And so, I have a side note. So, I've been in college, and that's why I've been busy, because college is super busy, and I was talking to this guy the other day. He was like, oh my goodness, I love Girl Meets World. I just binged watched the entire first season on Netflix in like 3 days. And so it made me so happy because like, I think that since season one is on Netflix, then by the time it gets to season three, if there is a season three, which hopefully there will be, then there'll be a lot more viewers on the actual TV because they'll be waiting for the episodes and they'll be all caught up. And so hopefully that will happen. And I think it was a really smart move of Disney to put the first season on Netflix, and I hope they can go ahead and put the second one on as soon as it ends so that people can catch up before season 3, because that would be really cool. And I think that was a really smart business move on their part. So anyway, well, I hope this isn't too long. Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Emily. Thank you.
Thank you. I hope you and that boy live happily ever after.
You snagged that boy. You got this.
And you better have recommended us. I was hoping that he was going to say that that guy listened to us too, and that two of our listeners found each other in love.
Aww.
That happens. My life will be complete.
If that happens, invite us to the wedding. And we'll do a podcast
on your wedding.
We'll
throw the wedding.
We're not going to throw the wedding.
I'll throw the
wedding. Don't make that audible. We'll throw the wedding.
Throw?
Yes.
In what context?
Like how you throw garbage. A party?
Okay. I wonder if you meant like throw as in like disrupt it.
No, that would be like crashing the party.
No, that would be going uninvited. I meant like throw as in like you throw.
That's what crashing is, Keith. Going uninvited.
Right, not like that.
I'm saying throw as in like you throw a game.
Oh.
Like intentionally ruining.
So like leaving the altar?
Anyway,
thank you for
your message.
Yeah, let's get into Emily's message.
Can I start with the end here with Netflix? I think that you're totally right that, I mean, that's the whole kind of reason reason shows get put on Netflix is so that people can binge and catch up, and that's how things like Breaking Bad end up doing way better in their final season than they did in previous seasons. Definitely you have a point there. I am nervous given the way things are scheduled here. I have a feeling season 2 won't be out on Netflix until like mid-season 3, because I mean season 1 didn't come out until like mid-season 2, so it would be very smart of them to have season 2 on Netflix before season 3 starts, but given the fact that there's only like a couple week breaks between season, I'm not super expecting that. What else did she talk? What else do we want to say?
Doy.
Yes, Doy.
So yeah, Doy's only joke was screaming, and like I said before,
and Doy, and throwing Doy into everything.
Yeah, and Doy, and Doyable. And like I said, I love Doy. He's so cute. I love children, but even for me, that got to be too much.
He has one joke. It's
two
like,
jokes.
What's the second joke?
He screams and he's scared of Topanga, and like he says Doy.
That's just like the default joke they give children on the show.
Scared of Topanga.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah. What does that say about Topanga?
Yeah, it's just
Topanga.
Oh my god,
honestly, with Doy in Doy's first episode. I thought it was funny, but it was, like, almost too much for me, but I was willing to be like, this is a somewhat original thing, it's okay, it's one of Topanga's better episodes, I'll let it go that, for me, it got a little too much and became a little too one-note. Then they bring him back, and do the exact same thing with literally no twists. Literally gets the same thing 50 times.
And he faced his fear in the last episode. God. They got over it in the last episode, so it's bad
continuity.
If I ever
have to see him again and he does the same thing, I'm going to flip.
I thought that Doy,
what do you call this right now?
Not even close to flipping. You'll see if they bring him back. Oh my god.
If they bring him back and do the same thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If they bring him back and they do Doy.
I thought Doy replaced Ava, so I was really surprised to see Ava. This is the first episode we've seen her all season, isn't it?
Is it?
I don't remember.
I don't know, I blocked it out. I'm just really not a fan of this. And honestly, Augie, where was Augie this episode? He was just standing around. Augie, to me, is the most interesting character of the three of them, and he did nothing. And that's very strange to me. He was super proppy.
And we haven't had Augie in a while.
Yeah.
Have we?
Augie documentary.
No.
Well, he was in Cory and Topanga briefly with Spaghetti.
Yeah, but
we haven't had Augie interacting with...
I like the Spaghetti thing.
The Spaghetti thing's great.
It is
great. Just, why, children, why?
Why, science, why?
I'm going to go to this next voicemail.
Thank you again, Emily, for your kind words and your thoughtful...
Thoughts.
So, this next voicemail has a quality subject line.
Dan's Loon- a jerk.
No.
Caitlin gets hit in the face by a football.
Looney_Tunes meets his own World of Terror, recording a voicemail for Girl Meets World of Terror 2, thanks to a very uncooperative Audacity. So use Audacity, you're high tech. Alright. Hey. Let's see how this goes. I haven't actually listened to it. Hopefully it did cooperate, and this isn't like some madness.
Hello, this is Looney Tunes from Twitter, and this is my third time. That's with all that sequence stop crashing. But that's a story for another day. Anyway, I've been meaning to send in one of these voice messages for a while, but kept forgetting or whatever. Anyway, I hate to have my first one be for such a negative review, but well, here we go. I happen to think that this is probably one of the worst episodes of the series thus far. In fact, whatever episode you think is the worst episode, it's worse than that. Like, there is no plot to the episode, there's no coherency, there's no consistency, or anything that happened. Everything, things just happened, and then I was like, ugh. And I get that. It was more of a Disney Channel execs just going, hey, we got this great idea, let's have a bunch of crossovers. And they just had to kind of adhere to that, but it feels like the episode couldn't decide for one to be like Treehouse of Horror or for one to be like an actual canon episode. And the crossover did the episode no favors. Austin and Allie just showed up, stood shoulder to shoulder, like, hi, I'm Austin. Hi, I'm Allie. Bye. I'm sure they did the dance number with the ghost of the bay window, but I mean, honestly, you could have subbed in like Darby and Yogi in that spot, and it would have had the exact same effect on the plot, which was none at all. It's not that I hate weird Halloween episodes where things get all out there and out of control, but this one just didn't feel like it didn't know what it wanted to do whatsoever. And that said, I'm not a big fan of crossovers, mainly because to do it, you usually have to introduce a whole lot of logic and elements into your show that just don't go with your show's flow and would never be used again. Like the Best Friends from Never Girls or Austin Alley, if never been mentioned before, or would never be mentioned again in either in this show. So it's like, at least Salem had an excuse in that he was a magic cat. But then it's like, but what excuse did Austin Alley have? Like, they're from Florida, and they're like, all right, we came to New York to go to a haunted house. Like, what, did they not get Halloween down there in South Beach? And that's it. If the show had to do a crossover, which obviously it did, which is why it had to. I'm surprised they didn't crossover with Liv and Maddie, considering that the creator of Liv and Maddie, John D. Beck, used to be production staff on Boy Meets World. Sure, I don't think any of the kids watching would have known or got that at any point, but and it's not like it would have made any more sense, but it's not like it would have made any less sense. It would have been a fun little inside joke for, I guess, anybody who knew that, happened to know that little detail. Well, that's my time. And let's never speak of this episode again. All right, bye.
Oh boy, I love you.
Oh man, the bluntness.
Oh yes.
Thank you, Looney Tunes, for sending this in, by the way.
Yes.
And now let's get into your message.
The first thing I want to touch upon is the classroom extras.
And, Yogi and Darby, how they could have been used.
Yeah, I just think I would like to see, in general, these kind of characters outside of the school setting more. Mm. Like, it totally makes sense that they would be, I mean, these extras would populate things they'd be doing around town, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They would see them outside of school more often, even if they were just casual friends.
You know what I think would have actually been...
Although I do understand that it's New York City.
Yeah,
But
you know what I think would have been pretty funny is if, you know, so the whole point of Austin and Allie coming in is, oh, like, we don't even know what kind of kids are around here or whatever. If it had been Yogi and Darby and they like just went by doing something super weird instead of like talking to them, it could be like
if Darby was riding on Yogi's back.
Yeah,
they could have had an amazing couples costume, first of all.
Yeah, like I legitimately want some more like background development. Like, it's like small things of their relationship.
I want more Dargy.
Yeah, Dargy. Yeah, no, I would like more of that. I do want to talk about the Austin and Allie and the crossover things in general. So my assumption, and maybe I don't know the world of Austin and Allie that much. My assumption was that he was some sort of rock star or a celebrity that,
yeah,
like, it would make sense that he'd show up to New York for like a show or for something.
Well, in Best Friends, whenever they were saying, when Sid was looking it up, she was like, oh, the Spooktacular in Central Park. Like, people are going all over from Florida,
yeah,
and everywhere. And like,
Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. And a bunch of other states.
Is that a thing?
And like, they're going to New York. Like, that's where the party is. So they did like kind of legitimize it in Best Friends whenever that.
That doesn't really legitimize it for me, except for, I mean, it might legitimize it just because Austin is supposedly a celebrity, and so I don't know how much money he has. Maybe he can actually just do trips like this if he wants to do it. For most teenagers, I don't buy that we just want to go to New York for this one haunted house and my parents let me do it. That seems crazy. To me, the crossover with Best Friends Whatever worked perfectly fine because they teleported, and so it makes sense that they wouldn't be... it makes sense that they wouldn't... talked about that these characters would never be mentioned again or whatever.
They did not go out of their way. Yeah. It was easy for them.
Yeah. And I thought that made sense. I think that crossover worked perfectly fine. Riley and Lucas felt like Riley and Lucas. I don't know whether... Like, when they cross over like this, I wonder if, like, Girlmates World people come on and are like, help write them or something? I don't know how that works. Or do they just know the show and they write the characters?
That's a really interesting question.
I was wondering that, actually, because I thought... I couldn't figure out if what I was watching and, like, laughing at was it more, like, the chemistry that between the actors that I just like seeing Rowan and Peyton together? Or were they written better?
Well, I mean, it's like there hasn't been good scenes of Riley and Lucas together.
We just don't see them alone as much anymore.
We don't see anybody alone aside from Riley and Maya almost ever.
That's true. I think it was just like, I don't get to see that as much, and maybe I just really like that. Maybe it wasn't that they're written better, but it's just a scenario I want to see more.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I mean, I don't think... They didn't seem out of character in any way to me. They seemed totally in character, especially Lucas. I thought was very well written for Lucas.
Yeah, like, and the whole, like, this is weird, right? Felt very Lucas.
Yeah. And his reaction to the Fear Punk I thought was really funny. I like
physical
that
violence.
I sympathize with Sid. I Fear Punk.
I sympathize with Lucas.
Nice.
And thus
you got sucker punched in the dark.
She didn't mean to, and she felt really bad about
Not
it.
Not bad enough.
Oh boy.
Where did he get punched?
In the gut, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I think that all worked well, and that they wrote those characters well, and that crossover was fine. I get why generally, like, I totally agree. I think Austin and Allie were completely randomness, and that it could have been a good chance to actually to give some moments or developments to, you know, side characters. Like, we could have Dave, and Dave is dating Sarah now, or something. And
that makes sense.
It's a nasty breakup.
Yeah. And, yeah, I think that could be, or even just, like, you know, I think it would be funny to just get little bits of, like, Darby and Yogi fighting about something, and, like, we have, like, an ongoing, like, weird side backstory.
Yeah,
like,
I think there are great characters to just constantly see in the background doing funny things.
Yeah. Honestly, if that's the amount of effort that they're going to give to these special sets or whatever, I would have rather they have some kind of Halloween thing going on in the school, or like and then there was Sean that got trapped in the school or something and decorated the school.
And
just put extra effort into the school.
Well, I mean, the reason that is because of not just these two shows, but a bunch of other shows ended up at the Haunted House, as far as I can tell, and that it was a greater Disney thing. So now my other question...
Which made sense if they actually used the Haunted House set.
My other question is whether Girl Meets World wrote Austin and Allie so minimal because they felt like they were forced and they were trying to minimize them. They weren't going to use them as much as Riley and Lucas were used in Best Friends Whenever.
They're trying to minimize the damage.
Yeah, because they didn't want it. They didn't want to do this. The thing is, you still could have written them very small piece of the episode and still had it be good. Like, I mean, like we said, Sabrina, the teenage witch, on Girl Meets World was in it for, like, what? Maybe 30 seconds of the episode, but it was a funny little thing.
And she was still herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it would have been funny even if you didn't know she was a witch, but her being a witch and, like, knowing who Sabrina the Teenage Witch was made it extra funny.
I mean,
I disagree with that.
You have to know who she is.
I guess I can't tell because I know she's a witch.
We all know she's a witch. She had that look.
Well, blonde.
Yes.
I mean, both the witches were blonde.
All right. So, do you have anything else we want to say about his message? I mean, I definitely agree. Well, so, he's saying he thinks it's the worst episode ever.
It's definitely the most disorganized episode ever.
I have trouble as far as flaws, in that a lot of flaws works. The ending of it doesn't work, but for me, a lot of flaws is funny. There's a lot of funny bits in that. There's the Malala bit in that. Harley has some good bits. I think that flaws is, aside from the message at the end, which I really don't like, I think it's a fine episode. So to me, it's a decision of what's more important to you, negative messaging or just a bad episode. That's debatable.
And then there's
Farkle's choice to me is both not funny and a negative message. So to me, Fargo's choice is probably the lowest. People are throwing around, this is very similar to Fish in a lot of ways, which I know you guys end up just skipping.
Yeah.
Fish, I actually think, is significantly better than this. It's one of those weird things, because this does have, like, the big standout moments, right? Like, and so, like, in some ways I can tell why someone would like World of Terror 2 better than World of Terror 1, because, you know, World of Terror is maybe just, like, a mediocre episode, and this had big moments that you'd remember better.
There's so much spectacle to it, I mean.
And so I can see that, but I think Fish is, to me, closer to something like the Best Ones Never episode, where it's, like, it all logically fit together. There are wacky things happening, and there are some more childlike jokes, but, like, we went from A to B to C to D, and there was a plot. And there actually even was a lesson here in that episode, too, that was much more significant. And Augie even had a nice little moment with Rowan. And so I personally think the Fish is superior. Maybe it's not... For some people, I can totally understand not being as fun to watch, but if we're talking about quality... I don't know. I agree. I think Fargo's Choice is the worst episode. Let's talk about how we're going to end this episode. Are you guys ready to end this episode?
Dream.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We're going to end out here.
Are we?
Remember to dream.
Try.
Do good.
Class dismissed.
I forgot. Ruff, ruff. Hot feet. Hot feet. Fire in the middle. Hot feet. Hot feet. Warm as a griddle. Hot feet. Sizzling through. Oh, what will I do? Like skilly bop up hot feet. Hot feet. Stinging like a fissy. Hot feet. Drop feet. Smoking like a chimney. Hot feet. Burns heavily. Nearly makes a furnace out of me. I want to be hot, hot, hot.